Welcome back to this session of Office 365, Managing Office 365 for Small Businesses. This section is DirSync, Single Sign-On, and ADFS. I'm Chris Oakman. This is Steve Hall. Welcome back. We're going to dive right in. This is a pretty long long deck, so we'll work through it as quickly as we can. This will be our last one for the day, DirSync, Single Sign-On, ADFS. Tomorrow is going to be Link, SharePoint,
Exchange, and more exchange.
Right, exactly. So, reviewing identities. So, Steve and I talked about this last year when we did the first Jumpstart. We're going to cover identities again. I know Steven just went through this a little bit. We're going to cover it some more. There's a reason for that, so just keep that in the back of your mind. What is identity management? Deals with identifying individuals in a system. And controlling access to the resources in that system. So integral components of identity and access. Authentication, authorization, verifying that a user, device, or service has the identity it claims to be, and making sure that you can access that. Okay. The core identities with Office 365, cloud, directory and password synchronization, and then federated.
Well, let's make sure we talk about, what is that password synchronization?
Password synchronization. Do you see that right there? So at the bottom here, password synchronization may not be available today. The target is to update the service by, and this is Microsoft's nomenclature at the bottom, 1HYCY2013.
Which means what?
Which means first half calendar year of 2013. So sometime between...
hopefully now.
Now and the next couple weeks, right?
Yep. Hopefully it'll be out in the next few weeks.
Yeah, it should be out very, very soon. What is it? So DirSync, if anybody has looked at doing a complete federated identity with ADFS, maybe a hybrid installation, so that when you sign on to your computer in your office, you're also signing on to Office 365, has always required you to do DirSync, which the tool DirSync copies the user information from your on-premise Active Directory to Microsoft Online, to Office 365. All right, it copied everything except for your password. It did not synchronize that password. In order to get the password up there, so that when you change a password in your on-premise Active Directory, it changes in the cloud, you had to have an Active Directory Federation service installed. Okay, and to do that, it required a bunch of servers. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. And there's still reasons that you need that. The new version of DirSync is going to also sync passwords. Yep. So when you create a user in your local on-premise Active Directory, it's going to synchronize the user and password to Office 365.
And when you change your password on-premise, it will in turn
synchronize
your password.
For small businesses, this is huge. And I'm talking small businesses, maybe 50 users, 60 users,
any business that doesn't have the infrastructure to have this single sign-on. I mean, a single sign-on is a beast to manage, and it requires extra people.
It does. And if I force you to change your password on-premise every 30 days and online every 30 days, that was two places you had to change your password. So with this new tool, you're going to be able to change your passwords locally. When you do a Control-Alt-Delete on your computer, change your password, it's going to synchronize to your Office 365 account. Okay, so we just wanted to cover that real quick. And the differences, right, single identity in the cloud, cloud identity, these are small businesses. They may or may not even have Active Directory on-premise, right? Directory and password synchronization, and then federated identity with a full ADFS federation. All right, so cloud identity, rich experience between Office apps, ease of deployment, management, and support, lower costs, no additional servers, and high availability and reliability. It's all identities and services are managed in the cloud. So we just did this a couple weeks ago, actually. We had a client, a small client, six users. They decided that they no longer needed an office. They completely went remote. We removed their small business server, put them 100% in the cloud on Office 365. So they no longer have a local Active Directory, so just a cloud identity was perfect for them. They can log in no matter where they are into Office 365, access their files in SharePoint. They communicate from their home offices via link, and they share their email with Office 365 Exchange. So great solution. Cloud identities are used across the board with small businesses. Directory sync and password synchronization. Rich experience with Office apps. So this is for a company that has on-premise Active Directory. They already have that infrastructure in place, but they want to use the benefits of Office 365. Directory synchronization between on-premise and online. Identities are created and managed on-premise. So when you create a user on-premise, it's synchronized to the cloud. How often does it synchronize, Steve?
Well, this is it synchronizes as fast as you're going to change it.
It's as fast as you're going to change it. But in general, Directory Sync server yep. synchronizes every 2 hours.
Every 2 hours, it's going to sync automatically. Yep.
And you can force it.
Force synchronizations whenever you want.
Whenever you want. You can make that happen. And if you add a user, you can go do a force sync. It'll sync that user right away. So password synchronization enables single sign-on at a lower cost than federated. Obviously, to do this, you need to have one on-premise server to do the directory sync role.
Okay. And it cannot be what? It
cannot be an Active
Directory
controller.
Of course, we're going to get to that in a minute.
We're going to get to it. Yep. All right. All right. Federated identity. So this is a full-on ADFS installation. Single identity and sign-on for on-premise and Office 365. Identities mastered on-premise. All right. Directory synchronization is still used. Secure token-based authentication. Client access control is can be based on IP address with ADFS. Strong factor authentication options for additionally securing ADFS. Okay, this is Active Directory Federation Services. Your on-premise can be your domain name / username, and it's going to synchronize up to Office 365. Understanding DirSync. So this is the new DirSync. What is it? It's an application that synchronizes on-premise Active Directory with Office 365. Users, contacts, and groups are what are synced. So if you have users and remote contacts and groups in your on-premise AD, they're going to sync. Initially designed as a software-based appliance. So this is kind of like you're going to install this device, you're going to forget it. Okay, it doesn't take a lot of resources. It does need to be server, and we're going to get to that in a minute, the requirements. Multi-forest support is now also available. This was not available before. And it's got a new name. All right, Windows Azure Active Directory Sync Tool. Okay. Enables coexistence. Right, provisions objects in Office 365 with the same email address as the objects in the on-premise environment. So your email addresses, your Active Directory. Before you can do DirSync, your Active Directory needs to be straight. You can't have in some of the screens on Active Directory users and computers, you can't have certain your email address has to match your email address. Your login has to match your login. So it has to be clean before you can do a DirSync install. And the big thing with DirSync is it enables coexistence for Exchange. So if you want to have a hybrid installation. You want to migrate maybe from Exchange 2010 to Office 365, you need to have DirSync in order to do that. Enables mail routing between on-premise and Office 365 and coexistence for Microsoft Link. Okay. DirSync enables single sign-on, enables run state administration and management of users, adds, deletes, modifications of users and groups and contacts from on-premise to the cloud. Enabler for single sign-on, and this is not intended as a single-use bulk upload tool. So it's not designed for you to go install it, get all the users and information into the cloud, and then remove it. That's not how Microsoft intended it to be used. And some options. So we have DirSync, suitable for organizations using Active Directory. Supports password synchronization with no additional cost, so this is coming soon. And it's suitable for large Office 365 connector. We have a new name for this as well. Suitable for large organizations, The main thing that we're talking about, remember, this is the jumpstart for small businesses, is we're going to talk about DirSync, but I'm just showing you some synchronization options, some other methods for larger organizations to synchronize their AD. Office 365 connector. This requires Forefront Identity Manager and additional software licenses to use this. So this is for complex, multi-forest Active Directory scenarios. And then PowerShell and Graph API, suitable for small to medium-sized organizations. So PowerShell required scripting and can be used where customer partner may have wrappers around scripts, self-service provisioning. So this is also, you know, pretty unique scenarios that you might need this. Single forest, that's what we're talking about. You know, small businesses with single forest. It's an X64, 64-bit FIM appliance, Forefront Identity Manager appliance, set and forget. The old, used to be a year ago when we were doing this, you had to use a 32-bit server, and you had to use the version of Directory Sync would only run on 32-bit server. And now, if you call into support today and you're having some issues, they're not going to help you unless you've upgraded. So this can be done. This can be a pretty easy upgrade, except for the fact that you have to change your server OS from 32-bit to 64-bit.
So here's one quick question about DirSync, and I'm sure you're going to get to it momentarily. With DirSync, how would you select only certain users get 365 licenses? You want to answer?
So to get 365 licenses, DirSync does not provision the license, but it is supported, fully supported now. A year ago it was not, to only synchronize certain directories or organizational units within your Active Directory. Mm-hmm. So you can go in and tell DirSync exactly. Maybe you create a OU group called Office 365, and just the users in that group are getting synchronized up. So you can now specify just that group. And vice versa, you can also create a group called Remove from Office 365. And when that sees them in that group, it will automatically remove them, deprovision them in Office 365.
And then you have to go add the licenses. That just populates the user.
This just populates the user information. You still have to assign that license. You still have to manually go into Office 365 and assign that user a license.
And what they have, going back to a question that was asked in the previous module, if there is a user created with no license assigned, they can log into the portal, but they can't do anything.
Right.
I mean, so you can have as many users as you need. It's just that where there's no license assigned, they get access to no services.
Right. Yeah, there was a couple questions about that. Password synchronization, again, coming very soon, and some early adoption, early onboarding program, kind of a beta program, is underway now. It should be available here very, very shortly. By default, the entire Active Directory Forest is scoped. So if you don't go in and make those changes, it's going to automatically import everything in your Active Directory to Office 365. All user objects, all group objects, all mail-enabled contact objects, and synchronization is one way. You can enable a write-back, but there's not a lot of information that can be copied back. And every 3 hours of synchronization. And here's a nice little PowerShell script, PowerShell command, start-online coexistence sync will force a directory sync immediately. So if you add a user, change the user's name, anything you do on-premise, you can run that PowerShell command and it will synchronize.
We did say 2 hours earlier.
Yeah, we did say 2 hours.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Three. Correction now.
So, yeah, I want to make that correction there.
I don't need any fact checkers coming back and telling us that we were wrong. So, 3 hours. We know, we acknowledge it, we were wrong.
Right. All right. What user objects are migrated? So, mail-enabled, mailbox-enabled users are synchronized as mail-enabled users, not mailbox-enabled users. They're visible in the Office 365 GAL. Login is enabled but not automatically licensed to use services. Target address is synchronized for mail-enabled users. Regular NT users are synchronized as regular NT users. Resource mailboxes are synchronized as resource mailboxes. And again, not automatically assigned a license. So we'll get a call every once in a while. You know, I added this user on premise and they're not showing up. You know, they can't log in. They can't check their email. We're getting bounce backs trying to send them email. They forgot to go in and assign a license. So we get that quite a bit. Okay. Group objects, mail enabled groups are synced. Group memberships are synced, and security groups are synchronized as security groups. So, you know, if you're doing a migration maybe from SharePoint Online to SharePoint on-premise to SharePoint Online, your security groups are synchronized so that you can use those in Office 365 SharePoint Online. Contact objects, only mail-enabled contacts are synchronized. Target address is synchronized to Office 365. New user group and contact objects that are added to on-premises are added to Office 365. Existing user groups that are deleted from on-premise are deleted from Office 365. So this is another one that you need to be careful of. You can automatically remove a user pretty easily, and it can be quite a challenge to restore that user. In fact, we just had an instance a couple weeks ago with this exact thing. It took us quite a while to recover that user. We have a client that has a hybrid install. I've had that hybrid install for almost 2 years now, and you know, we accidentally dropped a user into the remove from Office 365 group. They were gone in a matter of minutes, and you know, it was quite a task to restore the Exchange account, the user account, the whole deal. So it can be done, but you have to be careful. Existing user objects that are disabled on-premise are disabled in Office 365. So if you right-click a user, disable it in on-premise, it'll be disabled in Office 365. And object attributes that are modified on-premise are modified in Office 365. If you add a phone number or an address or a department or something like that to somebody's on-premise, it will be synchronized up. And here's the big one. Objects are recoverable within 30 days of deletion. So if you accidentally delete a user, you got 30 days to get them back. So you better remember remember that you deleted them and get them back pretty quickly. So, all right. Let's see.
Here's a quick question.
Sure.
Should you run DirSync before creating users in Office 365?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What happens if there's a user already there?
It's going to synchronize up. So if that user matches what's in Active Directory, it's going to synchronize that user. It's not going to create a version 2 of that user. It's going to match as long as their mail address or email address and everything matches.
If you happen to have, for example, Todd Smith at yourdomain.onmicrosoft.com and the Office 365, and then you run DirSync, and obviously you don't have an .onmicrosoft.com as your local domain, it will create a second Todd Smith if that person exists.
Yes, it will.
So make sure everything matches up perfectly.
Yep. All right. First synchronization cycle is a full. It's a time-consuming process depending on how big your Active Directory is.
Good question. One of the questions right
there. Oh, go ahead.
No, you just answered it.
Oh, I just answered it.
I was trying to get it out.
Yeah, approximately 5,000 objects per hour. So if you've got, 10, 20, 30,000 objects in your Active Directory, like some of my small businesses do.
How long will 50K take?
Well, about 5,000 users an hour.
And depending on obviously your speed and connection speeds.
So the next synchronization cycles are deltas only. They're much faster. Not all premise attributes are synchronized for each object type, but 100 plus of them are synchronized. So if you're using some attributes that are maybe custom or something like that, they may not synchronize. Once implemented, on-premise AD becomes a source of authority. Okay, you cannot make changes in Office 365. That was another question. You cannot make changes. The only thing you can change once you've enabled DirSync on a user is the phone number. You can add a phone number to Office 365 user.
So all properties are done.
Yep. On-premise.
Locally, on-prem.
Yep. Customers can exclude objects. So this is new from last year. Customers can exclude objects from synchronizing. Scoping can be done at the following levels: domain, organization, and user. So you can actually go in and specifically say, I do not want to sync this user. Okay. On-premise object GUID AD attribute assigned value for source anchor attribute during initial object synchronization. So this is a hard match. DirSync knows which Office 365 object it is in the source of authority by examining the source anchor attribute. DirSync can also match user object created via the portal with on-premise objects if there is a match using the primary SMTP address. So if you accidentally forget and you go ahead and create a user on-prem on in Office 365, you already have that user in on-premise, it can still match that up. And that is referred to as a source match, or soft match, I'm sorry. Synchronization errors are emailed to the technical contact for the subscription. So in our case, we assign an admin to every one of our customer accounts, and that admin is also given the technical contact email address so that we get those synchronization errors. Sometimes the client wants to get those synchronization errors, so you can just create, add them as, give them the technical contact role. Example of errors include synchronization health issues. These are sent once a day. Objects whose attributes contain invalid characters. So if you've synced, you had maybe a big long name, those you're going to get an error that they can't sync. Duplicate conflicting email addresses, and if your sync quota limit is exceeded. And there's a link here to all of the attributes that are supported, so every app that are synchronized. All 100-plus attributes are linked there.
So a question has been asked, what about DirSync? Can it sync distribution groups?
Yes, it does. Yep.
So pretty much distribution groups, mailboxes, users in AD.
Right.
Because the other question is, what if I don't have Exchange locally, I have AD. Can I upload my users?
Yes.
They're AD properties, so they're anything in AD.
Anything AD. All right, so requirements for DirSync. These have changed from last year. So one of the big thing I want to talk about first was the Office 365 Deployment Readiness Toolkit. So this link here will allow you to, it'll actually run it'll go through and it'll examine your on-premise Active Directory and make sure that there's nothing, no big flags that come up to say why you can't run DirSync. It's going to check for how many Active Directory controllers you have, how many Exchange servers you may have. It's going to give you all kinds of good information if you run this tool first. And you need to fix any problems that it discovers before you install the DirSync tool. So it's going to analyze your on-premise environment, domains, user identity, Exchange Online, Link Online, SharePoint Online, the clients, and the network. So it's a pretty good tool. We use this not just for Office 365, but for some discovering when we have a new client, so their local domain. Okay. Requirements. Single forest must be joined to a domain. So the actual DirSync server must be joined to a domain with the same forest that will be synchronized. DirSync server should never be installed on a domain controller. Somebody asked me earlier why they couldn't install DirSync on their Small Business Server 2011 server. DirSync will work in that environment, but it needs to be on a separate server. So you need to install a server appliance.
A standalone member server.
Yep.
Any member server.
And, of course, now it's a 64-bit Windows server or better. And by default, SQL Server 2008 R2 Express is installed. So you have a 10 gigabyte database limit with SQL Server Express. So if you go over that, there are options for a full SQL version. Okay. There is a 64-bit single multi-forest appliance available. The Office 365 connector is also available for complex scenarios. So if those are some things, if you have multi-forest, if you have a complex scenario, definitely contact Microsoft support and they will help you with that. Active Directory requirement. So here's a big one. Only routable domains can be used with a DirSync deployment. All right. Non-routable domains include .local, .loc, or .internal. These are some domains that you may have set up your internal domain name as company.local when the Active Directory server was originally installed, you must have a routable UPN suffix. Now, that internal domain is okay. It can stay, but how your users log in must change. Instead of logging into their PCs as domain/username, they need to log in with username@avaliddomain.com or .whatever, .net, or cannot be a .local, cannot be a .company, it can be a .co, but you know, a router, it has to be an internet routable domain, okay? So you need to add a routable UPN suffix in Active Directory, Forest, and Trust, configure each user with that routable user principal name suffix. User at domain.local must be changed to user at domain.com. If this is not done, DirSync runs, users will appear in Office 365 as user at domain.onmicrosoft.com instead of your user at domain.com. Now, this can be changed. It can be fixed, right? If you've already installed DirSync, you can fix it. But there are some things that you will still have to call support for, because things like link, your link address is going to be that onmicrosoft.com address, and you want to make sure that gets changed to your domain.com. So this is very, very important that you change that user principal name. It's very easy to change in Active Directory, but it can take it can be a, and this can also be a showstopper for a migration. If you've got a company, let's say they have a third-party line of business application that they have hard-coded in their domain/username or their domain/username or the .local domain, so that when they log onto their computer, it's authenticating them at the domain.local in that application. If you change their UPN suffix and now they can no longer use that third-party application, that needs to be changed before you can migrate them to Office 365. We've run into this as a stumbling block a number of times, so it can be pretty big. This is usually only an issue in larger organizations, and maybe they've done some custom SQL application or something like that, but it can be a showstopper. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you're using DirSync. Hardware recommendations. Again, I told you earlier, it doesn't require a lot. This is an appliance. Set it and forget it. If you got fewer than 10,000 objects in your AD, a 4 gigabyte memory system, pretty small server. We use some little tiny 1U boxes to do DirSync. So, in fact, I think some of them have the Atom processors, the boards on a chip systems, and they work great for doing DirSync because it's not a memory intensive, it's not processor intensive, it's just needs to be there and synchronize this Active Directory. So it can be done. Yes, you know, if you've got a small business server, you know, it means you've got to buy another server, but it can be done fairly inexpensively. And I'm going to talk a little bit later in this session about another option that we have as well. Network requirements. I'm gonna throw out there. You need to put this slide in memory. There's a reason for that. So you're gonna synchronize with Office 365 occurs over SSL. Internal network communication will use typical Active Directory related ports. DirSync server must be able to contact all domain controllers in the forest. So it needs to be able to see all the domain controllers in order to work correctly. But again, you want to put these port numbers into memory. All right. Permissions. Account used to install DirSync must have local machine accounts.
Forgot one thing. DirSync can run on a virtual machine.
Can.
It can.
Yes.
Forgot to mention that
when
you were doing
the slide. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
So it's important because you were talking about an appliance, and I don't want people to think you only need an you can spin up a virtual machine as long as you have a license.
Except on Small Business Server 2011. You cannot spin up a virtual machine on Small Business Server.
But you can put the SBS running in a virtual environment.
You can.
And you can make a host server.
You can.
Put the because I'm keep getting asked that question.
Yeah.
So if you have SBS and you want to know how can I possibly use DirSync, you can run the SBS as a virtual guest and then run a DirSync server as another virtual guest. or on even the host machine if it's a member server.
Right.
As long as it's a member server on the SBS domain, you can run it. That's the only way. It cannot run on the SBS server.
Can't run an AD controller at all.
Yep. So.
Okay. So the account used to install must have local administrator permissions to that machine. If you're using full SQL, writes within SQL to create the DirSync database. Account used to configure DirSync must reside in the local machine's admin group. MIS admin group account used installed. It's automatically added when you install DirSync, so don't remove it. administrator permission the Office 365 tenant. So DirSync uses an administrator account, and this is one of those reasons where maybe you might not want to change the password, have a password change, or when you do change the admin password in Office 365. You want to make sure that you log into DirSync and rerun the utility to update that password. So that's pretty important. We had a client change their password, and next thing you know, they weren't getting their synchronization. So that can be pretty important. Okay. Enterprise admin permissions to the on-premise Active Directory. Credentials are not stored or saved by the configuration wizard. And it's used to create the MSOL AD sync domain account in the user's container of the root domain of the forest. Okay, used to delegate changes, replicating directory changes, and synchronization. All right, understanding single sign-on. Question you want?
Can DirSync run on Windows 7?
No.
Or Windows 8?
No. No, it has
any
to
be. Windows client?
And no, it has to be on a server 2008.
So, I hope that answered the couple of questions. I wanted to make sure I presented those live.
Yeah, must run on server 2008, 64-bit.
2008, R2.
R2, 64-bit. Understanding single sign-on. Enables users to access both the on-premise and cloud-based organizations with a single username and password. Provides users with a familiar sign-on experience. Allows administrators to easily control account policies for cloud-based organization mailboxes by using on-premise Active Directory management tools. Okay, so again, goes hand-in-hand with DirSync. Got to have DirSync to manage the accounts online to get a single sign-on benefit. So policy control, access control, reduce support calls, security. Server requirements. For ADFS, Windows Server 2008 or Windows Server 2008 R2, ADFS 2.0 setup installs, and this note up here, 2012 is not currently supported, Server 2012. There will be a newer version of ADFS coming out shortly that will. Installs Web Server IIS, .NET, Windows Identity Foundation. You must have SSL keys, publicly registered routable domain name, the online services module for Windows PowerShell, online sign-in assistant. So the whole design is high availability, dual site, load balanced is recommended. Choice between Windows internal database and SQL supports a maximum of 5 federation servers. SQL supports SAML, replay detection, artifact stores. Wildcard SSL certificates are supported with ADFS. However, the ADFS GUI will fail to add additional ADFS servers to a firm when the ADFS firm name does not match the domain.com. Okay? So it's only going to be able to add servers that are part of your original domain.com. Clients, Internet Explorer 8 or later, Firefox, Chrome, Safari, Office 2010, 2007 latest, Office for Mac, Office 2008 for Mac version 12.29 ended in April, so it is no longer supported on the new version of Office 365 to use the old version of the Mac Office. Office 365 desktop setup is suggested, and the Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant is required. Active Directory Federation. Active Federation applies to rich clients used by Link and Office. Clients will negotiate authentication directly. Basic authentication, it's your active profile, applies to clients authenticating, used by ActiveSync, Outlook 2007, 2010, IMAP, POP, SMTP, and Exchange Web Services. Client sends a basic authentication credentials to Exchange via SSL. Exchange proxies a request to the on-premise server. Passive federation applies to web browsers and documents opened via SharePoint Online, used by the Microsoft Online Portal, OWA, and SharePoint Portal. Web clients will authenticate directly with the on-premise ADFS server. Okay. Client access control. So we can limit access to Office 365 based on network connectivity, internet versus intranet. We can block all external access to Office 365 based on IP address. We can block all internal access to Office 365 except Exchange ActiveSync. All other clients such as Outlook can be blocked. We can block all external access to Office 365 except for passive browser-based applications such as Outlook Web Access or SharePoint Online. So there's not a lot of new client access control built in. There's a client access builder policy builder to test ADFS client access rules extensively. ADFS will by default log all denied authorizations and the values it based on the denial upon. So there are some logging on ADFS. Deploy, we're back to the user principal name. This is deployment considerations. User objects must have a value for UPN in on-premise Active Directory. So again, this is a must. You can't do dirsync without it. You can't do ADFS single sign-on without it. UPN domain suffix must match a verified domain in Office 365. Contoso to onmicrosoft.com is automatically added and is used if the UPN does not match. So that's what Steve was saying a little earlier. If you run dirsync and your UPN is not correct, you're going to get an onmicrosoft.com email address and domain login. That's how you're going to have to log in to Office 365. Users must switch to using UPN to log into Office 365. They can no longer use domain slash username. And the UPN must have valid characters. So Office 365 deployment readiness tool will verify that your UPN is correct. Okay. Office 365 desktop setup automatically detects necessary updates on the computer. We talked about this earlier. Installs the Office Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant and installs any operating system and client software patches that are needed. Automatically configures Internet Explorer. It adds things like SharePoint into your intranet trusted sites. And Office 365 desktop setup is not an authentication or sign-in service and should not be confused with single sign-on. The Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant can be installed automatically by Office 365 desktop setup or manually. Enables authentication supported by obtaining a service token from Office 365 and returning it to the rich client. Example link. Not required for web kiosk scenarios. Is required for on-premise computers connecting to Office 365. So the Microsoft Online Sign-In Assistant is required for on-premise. So if you want to access dirsync, Exchange, ADFS, PowerShell, it's required on all of those servers or all those tools. Okay, so ADFS server firm or server default topology for Office 365 is a federation server firm. Okay, so we're going to talk about this in a minute. We recommend using at least two federations in a load balance configuration. So what happens is when a user external to outside the organization, they're a member of your domain, they have login rights on your domain, and they go to logon.microsoftonline.com, it's going to pop up, ask them for a username. They're going to type in their username. We looked at that screen earlier today when I logged into my Office 365 tenant. It's then going to automatically prompt them for their credentials for their Active Directory. So it's then going to make a connection to your on-premise ADFS server to authenticate them with Active Directory. So no authentication will happen with Office 365. Office 365 is going to trust your ADFS server to provide that authentication. So when that user logs in, they will get authenticated. Office 365 will see that and will allow them access to the features of Office 365. The one thing you need to consider, and this is why Microsoft recommends at least two Federation servers, is if that ADFS server is down or your internet is down, then they no longer have access to Office 365. So if they're an example might be a salesperson, maybe you have a traveling salesperson that's out of the office, and the internet connection is down at your office or the ADFS server went down, they can no longer log in to Office 365 to check email. So Microsoft recommends a load balancing scenario with multiple ADFS servers to help prevent this. With DirSync, if you're just doing DirSync alone, DirSync can be down for days and you will still be able to authenticate with Office 365. The only thing that won't happen are any changes from your on-premise Active Directory to Office 365. So that's very important to know. It's okay. You can use DirSync as one server. That's why Microsoft doesn't recommend multiple servers. But for DirSync, so because it can be down for a couple days and it's not going to affect your ability to sign on to Office 365. But with ADFS, it authenticates every single user, so you need to have multiple servers in a firm. They're recommending also proxy servers. So it comes down to if you want to run ADFS on-premise, you need approximately 5 servers. You need 2 ADFS servers, 2 ADFS proxy servers, and a DirSync server. That's a recommended Microsoft method for doing ADFS and DirSync and single sign-on. Now, that being said, it is perfectly, if you're okay with the risk of being down, if you're migrating from an on-premise Exchange 2003 server, then you only had one server. Maybe it was Small Business Server 2011, maybe even Small Business Server 2003. We still see a lot of those migrations. Then you have been okay for a long time with one server, right? So you can get by with doing a single ADFS server, a single DirSync server, and it will work. Is it the recommended way? No, but it will allow you to authenticate and log in. Okay. Single server configuration. ADFS server firm and load balancer, ADFS proxy server, okay? So we got Active Directory, ADFS, 2 ADFS 2.0 servers, 2 proxy servers, and the external user. So, it's very redundant so that, and you can put these in different physical locations as long as you're that's the way your domain is configured. Let's say you have an office in a remote office, and they have an Active Directory controller. So you could put these in multiple locations and provide proxy into them. Okay. Deployment architecture: minimum number of servers, so fewer than 1,000 users, 1 dedicated network load balancing server, 1,000 to 15,000 users, 2 dedicated Federation servers, 2 dedicated Federation server proxies. So if we go back a screen, all right, we're showing 5 servers here. We're showing, or really showing 4 here, but 5 servers. You have an ADFS 2.0 server, ADFS 2 ADFS 2.0 servers, 2 proxy servers, DirSync. In this next slide, we have the 1 dedicated network load balance server is those 5 servers, okay? So 1,000 to 15,000 users, we're talking 2 of those and 2 dedicated proxy servers. So the number of servers jumps up the more users you have. And this is to provide for, the ability for them to log into Office 365 no matter what the conditions are.
Here's a quick question. I know we're looking at the time.
Yep.
Can you have a second ADFS server or a proxy at a remote site?
Yeah, you sure can. And we're gonna talk about another scenario here in a minute. And just to give everybody a little warning, you know, we're running 40 minutes or so right now. We're going to run long on this session. We're going to just give everybody a little up front. We probably got
another, last session for the day.
It is our last session for the day, and we're going to run long, and then we're going to be here for quite a while to answer questions too. So we knew this one was going to be a long module, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to go ahead and get it out of the way and leave extra time for it. All right. So, you know, as you can see, the more users you have in a small business scenario, which is what this course is about, you know, we're looking at the two servers, two ADFS servers, two proxies, and one DirSync server, so five total servers. Okay. And there is a ADFS capacity planning sizing spreadsheet on this link on this screen. All right, so authentication. Understanding the client authentication path. So the I'm going to grab my pen here. All right, so here we have some clients, right? They log into, they hit the Exchange Online website. They grab, they submit their username and password. It's then going to go to the ADFS proxy. So it's going to go this way here to the ADFS proxy. ADFS proxy is then going to talk back with Exchange Online and authenticate them, okay? And then, you know, even on-premise is going to talk to ADFS or Exchange Online through the ADFS proxy server. So they're all going to talk through the ADFS server and then get authenticated for Exchange Online. Once Exchange Online sees that, sees that they've been authenticated, then it gives them access to the services that they have licenses for. All right, Windows Azure. We aren't going to go real deep into Windows Azure. Windows Azure is Microsoft's online server hosting, so as well as some other features in Azure. I'm not going to go real deep into.
We do happen to have, while you touched on the surface, we do mm-hmm. have one person answering questions right now who actually is deploying this, and he's deployed mm-hmm. this a few times. So if you post some questions that Chris does not cover,
right.
they may very well be answered now live in the Q&A. Just throwing that out there for you guys.
Okay, great. Thanks, Steve. So Windows Azure is an Office 365, or it's an Office cloud offering from Microsoft, or a cloud offering from Microsoft for a hosting environment. You can do a lot of different things in Azure. What we're going to talk about today is Windows Azure and ADFS. Okay? So we can create a virtual network support between our network and Windows Azure, so we can get a 99.95% SLA uptime and 99.9% uptime on the storage. We can control a virtual machine in Windows Azure that can run this whole ADFS implementation. It's also pay-as-you-go, monthly service fees, just like Office 365. So you have a monthly service fee for your Windows Azure tenant. Okay. Why would you want to use Windows Azure for ADFS? Well, we talked about it right a second ago. First of all, enterprise.
High availability.
Yeah, sorry about this. Let's get all these up here. So we can, the back one, sorry. Clicked one too many times. So we have our on-premise Active Directory. We have a VPN connection to Windows Azure, which is infrastructure as a service. And in Windows Azure, we can run an Active Directory controller, our two ADFS 2.0 servers. Okay, so these all run in Windows Azure, connects directly to our on-premise AD, and synchronizes and provides that login ability. So for a company that might be, maybe they are have internet struggles. We have a lot of remote locations here in the U.S. with companies might not be able to get the best internet access that they need. They might be limited to a single T1, something like that. If we put their, but they want to run ADFS, they want to have that security, but they've got 2,000 plus users that need to log in. Here, they can put that infrastructure in the cloud, so it's always available for those users no matter where they are. So if that internet connection, that local internet connection to their to the on-premise AD goes down, they can still log in and authenticate to Office 365 from no matter where they are. Okay? So some terminology, cloud service, role which several virtual machines take upon themselves to execute. ADFS, cloud services need to have two instances or more to qualify for the SLA of 99.95% uptime. One external virtual IP address per cloud service. Okay, and then availability group shows here that we have two racks, basically. These are virtual machines, availability sets, that make up an availability group with Windows Azure. Endpoints, you need to add an endpoint to a machine or other resource on the internet or other virtual networks to communicate with it. You can associate specific ports and a protocol to endpoints. Resources can connect to an endpoint using TCP, UDP, HTTP, and HTTPS. The virtual network enables you to create secure site-to-site connectivity as well as protect private virtual networks in the cloud. Our Q&A is rolling now.
Well, they've been asking about Azure the whole time.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So, you know,
yeah.
I'm glad that we're finally here.
We're finally here.
We'll try to answer as many of these questions as we can. We know the time is clocking
right
down, but we'll stick around to answer all the questions we can.
Yep. So here's an example. So we have on-premise, we have our SQL firm, maybe we have some IIS servers on, AD, DNS, Exchange, VPN device connects to a VPN gateway in Azure. We get a couple subnets in Azure with our different availability groups, and they provide the authentication for Office 365. Okay. So here's another animation. So we've got a gateway connects to our IPsec device on the enterprise connects to the Windows Azure gateway, which can provide Active Directory and then the cloud service. So the ADFS 2.0 servers, load balancing endpoint, and then DirSync. So we can also run that up in ADFS as well. So the whole, or in Azure as well. So the whole, your whole DirSync, ADFS, your whole ADFS, Active Directory can run in Azure. So this would be really good for maybe a company that's going completely mobile. Something like that.
So I'm answering a question now. Is it a good practice to use Azure to run DirSync instead of purchasing an additional server for small business server clients?
So, sure.
Go for it.
Yeah. It can depend on...
Economics play a part.
Yeah.
I would certainly say you should look at the economics of running Azure servers and services, break it down and figure out what the true cost will be to you
right,
or to your organization or to the end-user business. Reliability of the on-premise network. How good is your internet? Are you trying to get rid of all your servers? All of those play a part, but it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, it is. And like Steve hinted at there, you definitely want to look at the economy of it. The license or pricing for Windows Azure is still, it's gotten much better in the last year, but it still can be, I can't tell you today that it's going to cost you this many dollars to run ADFS in the cloud. Or DirSync in the cloud as part of Azure. So, it's getting there. It's getting better. And it's public availability of Azure was made just a few months ago. So it is a new service, a new offering, and we're using it with our clients. So, And we want to make sure we shared a bunch of additional resources. We got directory synchronization roadmap, how to prepare for DirSync, setting up your DirSync computer, update rollups, and step-by-step how-to guides. So we want to make sure we had a lot of that. And, of course, there's some information out there. We'll post a couple links for Azure services as well. All right.
Just a few more questions before we shut this
thing
down.
Yeah, absolutely.
One that I was asked a little while ago is, what's the main difference between DirSync and Federation Identity? I assume that means a DirSync identity and a Federation identity. The Federation identity or the federated identity would be the single sign-on user, the fully federated user. And the DirSync would be one that was published from the local premise up to the cloud. So it
right,
really just publishes a local user up to the cloud. So it's still a separate identity from cloud and on-prem, whereas the federated user is one and the same.
All right. Somebody asked what is a title slide so we can download it. They're going to be available after, sometime later this week. Later this week, we'll have them posted. Let's see.
What happens when I finish a cutover migration and then activate DirSync? I think we talked about that earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, so as long as you're... as long as your online user ID and email address matches your on-premise, DirSync is going to be fine. We just went through this, a couple weeks ago. We moved, or in the process of moving, a client from on-premise to, or from Office 365 to back to on-premise for a specific reason, and I won't go into that. But they, it's, you know, they're going to be using Exchange 2013 on-premise. We had done a cutover migration for them a year and a half ago to Office 365. We installed DirSync and hybrid mode, and we're able to migrate them back. So it's perfectly feasible to install DirSync after the fact. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If your business grows or your needs change, you can certainly add after the fact.
So here's another one: is an on-premise AD and Exchange server needed once a user, or once a domain has been migrated to Office 365?
Is it on-premise AD?
Do you need an AD and Exchange server on-prem anymore?
Not necessarily. It depends on your needs, yeah. So, like I used the example earlier, we just migrated a client from on Small Business Server 2011 to 100% in the cloud. They're now got rid of their on-premise AD. Small Business Server has been retired. They no longer have an on-premise AD. Everything's done in the cloud.
So. All right, some of these are asking about, can the IP blocking be set up at the user level, or is that purely for the domain?
Purely for the domain, I believe.
I'm still checking on that. So, SQL mirroring, is that supported? You can cluster servers, but I don't know if the SQL mirroring itself is supported.
Yep.
I guess we can answer the rest of these offline since we're running kind of late now. Or do you want us to answer some more live?
Yeah. So we've got some time, so we'll continue to answer questions. Post them up. We'll try. We don't want to leave any dead space in the talking, but. If you've got a question, go ahead and access it. When you migrated from cloud to on-premise, how did you extract the data? So what we did is we did a hybrid installation of Exchange. They were migrating from, in fact, their tenant got upgraded to the new Office 365. We installed Exchange 2013 on-premise, enabled the hybrid mode so that we were able to just do a remote move request from Office 365 to on-premise. And this was for, I don't want anybody to think that we moved them because of an incompatibility was how they were running their business. There was something that they wanted to do that is not, because of, there are some features in Exchange Online that are not available, but they are available in Exchange on-premise. So in this case, it was a number of handheld devices that could connect to a single user account. In Office 365, it's limited to 10. In Exchange on-premise, I have the ability to bump that number up to however many users that I need to bump it up to. So, if I wanted to have 50 users connect a remote device to a shared folder, I can bump that up in Exchange on-premise. I can't do that in Office 365. So that's a limitation of the Office 365 tenant.
I want to put two questions out there. One of them we're going to loop back to yet again.
Yeah.
The whole SBS model.
Sure. Well, that's big. I mean, we're talking huge. Small businesses, right?
So the question was once again asked, if I have an SBS server, the answer was, if I have an SBS server, where do I install DirSync? And if you run it in a virtual machine, the SBS server itself, I said you can run DirSync on the host server. Just make sure, it's still not recommended practice to run AD on that host server. I just want to put some clarity out there. So it's never good to run AD on an actual Hyper-V server or host server itself.
Right.
You can. It's just not recommended.
Right.
The other one that I wanted to cover was somebody says most of our clients already have the Office product on their desktop. They're not looking to upgrade. Just only host, only move their mail.
Just saw that one too. So
why
would
they consider anything other than E1?
If all they're looking to use is email, then they could do exchange only.
But litigation hold. If you need litigation hold or you need some advanced email services, that requires either an add-on
or
the E3.
Yeah.
Or higher.
So,
for small business.
For small business, yep. Let's see, I have a client that's on Office someone else set up. They log into client PCs with domain username. When they open Outlook, they're prompted once for UPN and password. Would that prompt go away if the user logged on a local PC with UPN name? Yes.
You need to run the desktop setup
and
set up the IE security.
Yeah, set up IE security or run desktop setup on those users. Yeah. And you can rerun that desktop setup anytime you need to. I've seen this question a couple times. Was a new mailbox export request to PST possible? And we're going to have to look at that.
Try to answer that tomorrow during exchange if we can.
Yeah, we'll try and have an answer to that tomorrow for you guys. Because I've seen that pop up 2 or 3 times now. Can I set up smart card login for a federated user? Yes, you can.
The two-factor?
Yep.
The two-factor authentication is an option after you set up the
ADFS. Yeah, it's how you set up ADFS. Yep. Talk about cleanup. Any cleanup and configuration changes? DNS changes.
So if you were to have a tenant that was migrated from the previous version of Office 365 to the new version of Office 365, as an administrator, you should have been bombarded with emails telling you to make certain changes to your DNS. There are some DNS changes and DNS records that need to be updated. We can make sure we include that with the information or the slide decks that go out.
Yeah, and maybe we can talk a little bit about some of the experiences we've had during the upgrade. Because I know somebody asked earlier about when was their date? When could they get a date for their upgrade to the new version, new tenant? I can't give you that answer. I, as a Cloud Accelerate partner, we had to wait as well. And we're also a member of the Partner Advisory Council for Office 365. We had to wait as well. They could not give us a date. It's kind of when your tenant is ready, your tenant's ready, and they'll send you an email to do that migration. Now, the DNS changes are big. You may have not made all of the requested DNS changes originally when you installed the tenant, and it can really affect... especially the auto discover. If the auto discover is not right in DNS, when your migration happens, you will be bombarded with support emails the next morning. So, and it's a very simple migration. Your users all get prompted. They get a nice little thing. An administrator has made a change. If they left Outlook open overnight, it pops up when they get there in the morning. An administrator has made a change that requires you to restart your Outlook client. They restart that Outlook client, and they're good to go and on the new version of Exchange in Office 365.
A lot of the questions we're getting are about Exchange. We're going to really get into Exchange tomorrow once again, or for the modules 6, 7, 8, and 9. So I'll answer some of them offline, but I'm not going to answer a lot of those until the modules 6, 7, 8, and 9. But we'll definitely get to those questions about Exchange when the time comes.
Somebody asked, I have a client with many Macs with Office 2011 fully updated. They're randomly going to get pop-ups. I'm sorry. It's a Mac thing. Microsoft has done their best to make them 100%, fully compatible with Office 365. It's a Mac thing. Sorry. Let's see. DirSync's not really going to help with that because it's the way the client logs into Office 365. So,
I'll get one or two more, and then we can.
Sure. Yeah.
You want to find one?
Yeah. So somebody has FOAP. Is it possible for you to cover FOAP?
That is an Exchange question that will be answered in the Exchange module.
Yeah. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow. I wish I'd give you an answer to that. We got upgraded. Our tenant got upgraded. At least a couple months ago, and we still don't have EOP. So we'll get into that a little bit tomorrow. So that can throw a wrench in the works as well. All right. And that we're going to continue to answer throughout the chat for a while. We'll be in the chat room for a little bit. If you guys have any more questions, post them there. We'll try to answer as many as we can for the next 20 minutes or so. And other than that, we'll see you tomorrow.
Module 4, link online.
Module 4, link online tomorrow morning. We'll see you later. Thanks
a lot.